audio. Oh, real close. Hello, hello. Hello, hello. Oh, isn't it? Hmm. Oh, hello. Hello. I think it's connecting your audio. Cool, cool. Hey. Oh, I can't hear you. Hold on. I think the audio is still. Keep saying stuff here. Oh, wait.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, got you. All right.
it's one of those days I've done so many Zoom meetings now. You think you'd be a master of it, but still every time I have to say, can you hear me? I feel like my dad. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm all right. How about you?
Yeah, I'm good. What time is it where you are? Midday?
Or... It's 1 p.m. here. So it's 8 p.m. there, yeah?
Mm-hmm. It's quite idyllic because I'm living on my mum and dad's farm. So I'm quite lucky in that I'm not drowning in the noises of my neighbours. I'm just completely isolated with my parents. I'm very close to, I think, committing a murder and then potentially filming it and using it for live art purposes.
It'll up your star meter or whatever.
Yeah.
Twitter. Wow. Thanks for doing the podcast. This is You and Me in Thoughts and Talk with Doug Culp.
And thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. It was
very lovely. Because I put a call out just because I did a gig with Chris Gethard, that's it.
Gethard. Yeah.
He's awesome. Really bad with last names, but we did a gig and it made me realize because of the time difference, because it's all isolated, you can do gigs in chat to people across the pond that you wouldn't be able to normally. So yeah. I did a shout out and then I can't remember the name, a really lovely gentleman messaged me going, hey, what are you looking for? And I assumed he ran a comedy night, but it turns out he's a massive fan of yours. So that was
how we got
in touch.
Yeah, he was like, hey, would you want to have this person on your podcast? And I was like, I mean, okay. And I watched some of your stand-up and I laughed a lot. And I was like, all
right. That's nice. Some people really don't.
Depends. It's crowd to crowd. How long have you been doing comedy for?
I've been doing it professionally, I suppose, for about 5 years now. Like, awesome. As my full-time job. But I mean, I started when I was 17 and I was shit for a very long time. But that's sort of the thing, isn't it? When I do workshops and you get newcomers and they're like, so how did you start? What to expect when you start doing comedy? And you go, well, just expect to be shit for like a good 3 years.
Yeah.
You're going to suck and you're going to know the same 5 people because you all do the same gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll think that's what the industry is. and then you'll start to be shit less.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'll still be shit.
Yep.
Just a long time until you're eventually like only 10% shit.
Yeah. It's like sea legs, but stage legs. Like it takes a minute. It takes a while. And then you kind of hit a groove where you're like, okay, I could talk about this or I could talk about that, but I know how to talk about it. So hopefully if I don't have a joke set up already, then it can end up being funny anyway.
Yeah.
And,
it's just about finding your keys in the dark. It's just about I think the first year of stand-up is remembering how to breathe. It's actually just learning how to breathe on stage and not
how to be loose, how to not keep your legs locked so that you end up passing out or something.
Yeah. What type of stand-up do you do, Doug?
It's mostly just stuff about my life or like a weird sign that I saw. And I'm like, that's super weird. I wonder if they messed up or, yeah, I don't know. Just a lot of random stuff, but then a lot of stuff where it's like, oh, that says something about him. He thinks that's weird. Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's not always about, it's that thing when you see, how long have you done stand up for, Doug?
11 years, just okay. About 12 years. Yeah.
Sweet. See, you know, the shebang. You know what I mean? When you go and see stand up and you see an act go, hi, so I'm from so-and-so, and yes, it's a shithole. I'm going to tell you a bit about me. I'm the love child of so-and-so and so-and-so. Often you realize, like, we learn more about you when you don't tell us anything about you. Yeah. If somebody comes on stage and just tells you about how much they friggin' love sausages, then you learn way more about them than if they came on stage and told you about their issues with their mother and how their father left and, you know, they've been in prison. You know, it's sometimes if you talk about something that's nothing to do with you, we become far more aware of who you are as a person. Sorry, I'm rambling.
No, it's cool. It's a collective unconscious thing that you can kind of go for, where if you pick something that everyone is kind of thinking about and then you can talk about it and then make that funny, then they can be like, all right, I know what I need to know about this person. They're funny.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How have things been for you performing wise? You said you've been doing some Zoom calls and Zoom shows, I bet.
Yeah.
During
everything. You've obviously been doing quite a few as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, you run your own night, don't you? So that must be so stressful.
It's bonkers. It's crazy.
And so many, it's like, some people have really mastered how to do a good gig. Like, I've done some absolutely brilliant ones, like XS Malarkey in Manchester and Stuart Goldsmith's Infinite Sofa. There's been some really fun ones. But then I had the equivalent of, you know, when someone runs a comedy night, but in a pub where there's sport on and clearly nobody wants to watch the comedy, they're like, there's a game on. I had the Zoom equivalent of that. It was for like a community, like a queer meetup group for like different queer women all around the UK to catch up and socialize.
Yeah.
And one of the members of the group had decided to organize a comedy night in the middle of the Zoom meeting and had not told, clearly not informed them. So after they'd all been socializing for an hour, so I thought it was a proper gig. And then they were like, and now we've got our comedian Elf Lyons, and then suddenly I'm just put on the main thing. Everyone's like on their phones, you know, eating their dinner. Also, unless they're talking, they've all put themselves on mute. And I do it as a character. I did this time as a character, and I was trying to interact with the people on the chat. And a woman was like, put herself on the chat group and went, I'm sorry, I have no idea who this woman is. I've never met her in the group before. Everyone was like, who is this woman? Why is she's talking for a really long time. And someone had to comment going, I think there's a comedy night happening. And it was honestly the most atrocious experience of my life. Not of my life, that's, you know what I mean. The Zoom comedy gigs, it was diabolical.
One thing I found with Zoom versus Instagram Live or Twitch is with Zoom, if people are unmuted, mm-hmm. and they're laughing, then you can hear it, and so it gets a little bit more of an ambiance of a show. It's like, if I had to quantify it, it's like 30% of what live stand-up is, mm-hmm. because there's no really looking people in the eyes to deliver a punchline, or there's no, you know, like, I mean, there's barely any applause anyway in stand-up, but with the video, it's like, well, at least I can hear them laughing if they think it's funny.
Or like, you do it on Twitch, and that was like, it was just awful. With, I mean, it's
so comments, like,
yeah, like the whole time you're doing it, just people are chatting and Sean Morley pointed out that you would never allow that in a common live comedy gig.
No
you
just way.
Into each other. But they're so people. Not a fan.
Do you know who Ian Abramson is?
No, I'm going to be honest and say no. But I think it's because I really don't know a huge amount about American comedy.
Oh, it's all right. He's LA based, and he had this show called oh my gosh, 7 minutes in Purgatory. And what it was the comic would go into a room with headphones on, and I think something covering their eyes, so that they're doing stand up in an empty room, but everyone can see it because there's a camera filming them. He was way ahead of his time, but the fact of this show is that it's super weird. It's super weird if you can't hear or see any kind of crowd reaction. And so a lot of times comics would be like, well, I hope people are laughing at this, but if they're not, then are we still going? Something happened to the video.
Still here, you've just frozen and a big smile.
Right.
That's all right, don't worry, I'm still here. The only thing I've got to say is I've been told strictly by my mum that I have to be downstairs for dinner at 9 o'clock because that's when Jack and Potatoes are ready.
All right.
So that's in like 49 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to put a timer on the fun.
That's okay. That's totally
you understand when you live with your mum and your mum says the Jack and Potatoes are ready at 9, you can't, it doesn't matter who you are, you've got to go downstairs and eat those Jack and Potatoes.
Is that potatoes with cheese? Is Jack the cheese?
Or... No, it's just the jacket of the potato.
Oh, like jacket the potato.
The jacket. What?
Got
what?
You.
How do you not know that, Doug? I'm sorry, what do they do?
That must be a Britishism. I don't know.
What do you do in America? What do you call it then?
How are they made? How are the potatoes made?
You bake a potato. You bake a potato, and then you cut it open, and the jacket is all brown and cooked, and then the inside is all fluffy, and then you add your cheese and your bits and pieces.
So like potato skins, or just like a baked potato in half.
Skin of the potato, the jacket.
God, I love that.
Dude.
No, I love that jacket of potatoes. That's really cool. I also love boot for the trunk of a car. I do prefer that one.
Yeah.
The lift for an elevator makes way more sense. And also lifting something, like if you're stealing something, there's a bunch of Britishisms where I'm like, I completely see the sense in that.
How have you been to the UK?
Not yet. I'd love to though.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, when you come down and do the London comedy scene, message me.
Okay.
I wonder what it'll be like post-corona.
I know, right? Oh, there's clubs opening up in the States here and there, and they're like, okay, but everyone must wear a mask. That's understandable. And then everyone's going to be 6 feet apart from each other. That's going to be really weird. And then everyone's going to have to start by their set by saying like, "Whoa, this coronavirus is crazy, huh?"
Oh, there are going to be so many irritating love in the time of corona shows.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that.
There's going to be loads of blogs about how I didn't know how to love myself until corona came. And in isolation, I found myself through my love of crochet, which is, if that's the case for you, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But we know what type of journalism will pop up after this. Yeah. I've just realized I've turned into a hateful, hateful woman.
No. Observant. Observant and honest.
Yeah, no, so honest. I've become atrociously blunt. My friend's messaging me going, "Hey, do you want to chat later?" Absolutely not. No. Why? Why do you want to talk to me? What do we have to say to each other?
What is new? What has happened that's new? Nothing really. Trolls World Tour came out on VOD. So, assuming the world gets back to where it was, with it being okay to go out to gigs and it being okay to just go out again, everything, let's say in a year, everything is finally back to normal. Everyone's gotten a vaccine. No one's getting it anymore. The curve,
I mean, the vaccine
has flattened.
Will be years before it's certain. Like, but yes, sorry, Darren. There's not going to be a vaccine in a year. But yes, we will have to go back to normal. Otherwise, more people will die because of an economic financial collapse.
Right.
Okay, let's just say it how it is, Doug.
So say we get back to that time.
Yeah.
What is something that in comedy that you would love to do that you haven't done yet? And it doesn't have to be just one thing.
Well, so I was really excited about working on my new show. So I know you mentioned that you've seen some of my footage online, but I mean, most of that stuff, because I hate being filmed. I don't like watching comedy on the internet. I won't watch an Amazon special. I have no interest because I like it live, and most of my stuff is sort of tends to be very physical, slapsticky, clowny stuff. So Swan, which I did in 2017, which was the show for which got nominated for the Comedy Award at Edinburgh, which was such a surprise for my whole management, because they really thought I was just gonna flop, because they went, so what type of show are you gonna do? And I went, I want to do a one woman production of Swan Lake in an hour in French, and they went, oh, but no, but what do you want to do? And I said, well, I'm going to do that. But that was the sort of quest, and that got me a bit addicted to doing impossible things. And so since then, all my shows have sort of been, you know, playing with challenges.
Yeah.
But I just was watching The Encounter by Complicité, and Simon McBurney does this. It's so beautiful, and it's all to do with sound and the way we hear and register time. But I wanted to do for Edinburgh this year a show called Raven, which was going to be about my obsession with Stephen King and horror, but like in the form of like an all, like, I suppose it was going to be like a homage to Stephen King and all the sort of tropes within a Stephen King novel. Yeah. But actually, and I do think that's what I'm still going to do, but I'm going to build, and I want it to be entirely in the dark, but purely auditory, like totally in the dark, because normally everything I do is physical and not really word-based.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to do it entirely in the dark, but playing with all the different voices and sound, live sound foley. Because I did a horror show in Feb. I wrote, sorry, this is a really convoluted way of explaining your question, but if I just said I want to like cut shit up in the dark, it doesn't quite... I suppose that probably would have been more succinct. I want to cut shit up in the dark. I really enjoyed when I did Gorgon in February, having people laugh and then be sick. I find that really beautiful. I loved making people faint and people vomit. I like, as a woman, especially being like quite a sexually dominant presence on stage, and I use nudity quite a lot in my shows. There's something really fun about coming on stage and getting people to feel physically repulsed, and then sucker punching them with a laugh. I really like that. What about
That's
you?
Awesome. Oh, so many things. I mean, when I was first getting into comedy, and I was doing music first, and so like I self-released an album. I play piano and guitar, and got a bunch of songs. And at one point while I was performing music, I would do kind of explanations of the song before the song, and occasionally I get a laugh, and I was like, oh, that feels great. And so then I went to stand up, but I started writing scripts, and I made a font, like that's what this is back behind me for the Duplex Comedy Suplex poster. I made every letter out of just squiggly lines, and I'd draw faces wherever they would pop out at me, and I'm like, that's weird, and I don't know what this is, but I'm gonna keep making it. And I don't know, so many things. I'd love to do like a late night show, like a go on the couch and like talk about whatever project I have coming up, if I have something, or
how do you want to like make audiences feel?
Yeah. Or how do I want to make them
feel? Yeah, how do you want to make them feel?
Oh, at ease, and also like anticipatory for whatever funny thing might be coming up. I don't know. Because that's, I mean, what's your favorite part about doing comedy?
I don't know. Because I've sort of not fallen out of love with it. I love it, obviously, but it's that sort of orgasmic nature to it that's very addictive. I like, my favourite part is when I MC the boat show in London on the Embankment. There's this night called the Guinea Pig Club, and it's the Tuesday night, which I MC, and it's really fun. And it's a new material night, and usually it'll be acts like experienced pro acts coming in and trying new 5-10 minute sets, or if they're going on tour, they'll throw in some ideas. But you also get very new, but very emerging, cool, exciting acts coming to perform, and the management, like my agency, will be back at the back potentially watching them to see what they're like in front of a big crowd, see how they work. And I love doing that gig because also being the MC, your job is to lubricate the audience, make sure everyone's safe and the acts are safe and the audience know it's all good. And just creating a really fun, wonderful atmosphere. And because it's a new material night, I tell the audience, don't be a cunt. You know, just give these people all this unconditional love. So if a joke doesn't work, don't just close off on them. You know, it's a first date. Give them the benefit of the doubt. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. We're in a sweaty room. It's on a boat. But it's really, really fun backstage at that gig because we have such a silly time. And there was one time, there's a really epic act called Helen Bauer and Lily Phillips and Huge Davies, and we're all there. And I just, every time I came on stage, I would change into the act who'd been on before's clothes. Until I basically came out at the end of the first half naked, except for who was it? Dominic's. I can't remember. I can't remember the act's last name. Came on stage in just one of the act's big tuxedo jacket and a fedora hat and nothing else on. And it was, I think it's the ensemble collective part of, like, everyone loves it when you start and you go early to get to the pub to get to know all the other acts. Like, that's really fun. I suppose I miss that bit. I miss gushing over each other's sets afterwards.
The hangout is such an awesome, awesome part.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh no, it's okay. I was just gonna say the hangout is such an awesome part because you can go over like certain bits or like, oh, I thought of a tag for that, or or just shooting the shit about like how the crowd was, and it's a completely different experience than going on stage. But then just having been on stage, you get to talk about it.
It's great. So important to your mental health to have those come downs after the gig. Like I was explaining recently to my partner, because after I did a one nose Twitch. I was regularly streaming on Twitch doing like just material, and I was getting so much hatred from lone men who don't know how to flirt with women, who are saying like, who are just sending me horrible messages, and especially because they're not heckling you per se vocally, I can't slamming them when they've typed and I'm talking doesn't quite make sense.
No, it's not the same feel.
Yeah, it was really horrible. So I stopped doing Twitch because I thought, you know what, it's just not worth my mental health. Because I know you can say to someone, it doesn't matter. But everything, if it affects you, does matter.
Yeah.
In hindsight, you learn that at the time, we're all vulnerable. But I was saying afterwards, I poured myself the most obscenely large glass of red wine. And I stopped drinking for a really long period of time. For various health reasons, and I had this glass, and he was like, why are you having a big glass of red wine? And I said, because usually after a shit gig, I go out with my mates, we will go downstairs to another bar, or maybe I'll just walk home, because I used to live in Brixton. Like, I could, it would be an hour's walk to get home, I could calm down and calm myself. But I've literally just performed in my bedroom, painted up like a sea monster. And now I just have to take all my makeup off and go back into the room that I just died in and got called a slutty little hoe. How am I going to come down? Like, how can I move from there to the bed and not want to, like, make a noose? So, yeah, I will have a big glass of red wine and I'm going to find The Wire and I'm going to watch penultimate episode of season 3, and I'm going to calm myself down that way.
Oh, that's, I mean, it's true. It's true. There's there's little to compare to performing live for a live audience and then having to do it on Twitch, and then you're like, this is so different. Like, it's almost like when you read a book and then the movie is about to come out, and then you're like, I'm so excited to see the movie, and then the movie comes out and you're like, that was not what I expected.
Oh my, I felt like that the other day when I watched I Capture the Castle. Okay, if you haven't read it, or if any of your listeners haven't read it, you've got to bloody get a copy of that sweet, sweet book.
Okay.
It's a masterpiece. It's so fucking funny. It's
Capture the Castle?
I Capture the Castle by Dodie
Jane. I Capture the Castle.
And the film came out in 2003. It took such a long time to find it. You know, when you're like, how difficult can it be to find one film? It took about 25 minutes. I might have had a cry. And I, because I was menstruating, so, you know, these things happen, because I was in my winter. And we found it. It was so, I mean, this isn't quite the same point you were making, but I just want you to know that that feeling in relation to I Capture the Castle and its 2003 adaptation with Bill Nighy, awful.
Oh, and Bill Nighy's so great. Did he at least do great?
Oh, yeah, no, well, he's a classy, classy man. But what an awful adaptation.
Have you, I recently finally watched Toast of London, and I'm so happy that I did.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen bits of it.
Oh, man, Matt Berry. Like, all of his extended pronunciations, and, like, when he's in the sound booth with the guys, and it's like, this is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me? He's like, yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango. Oh, good, good stuff.
Toast of London, yeah. I've seen bits, but I'm really bad. I don't really watch a huge amount of comedy, as I said. So people are like, yeah, we watch that show, and I go, no, like, I've never seen Dolphy Towers or Blackadder or Monty Python, which people find obscenely disgusting.
But it is what it is.
I was brought up by an art house mother who made me watch Battleship Potemkin when I was 10, okay? So we've all got our own. I get my inspiration from watching a woman push a small pram with a child down a flight of stairs, which is a reference only people who watch Battleship Potemkin may get.
Was that based off a book or a play or anything?
No, I think it was based off, like, a war. Oh god, my history is gonna really, I'm gonna Google it. I sound like a complete doofus. So who are you isolating with at the moment, Doug?
Oh, I have two roommates, but I'm about to get kicked out of my place.
What did you do?
Nothing. It was just my lease is up, and then the landlord wants this room as their personal home office. And so I'm just like, well, shit. I bought a used van for really, really cheap.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna load all my things into it, and I don't know, just be a gypsy, I guess. Just drive around and hope for the best. At one point I was sleeping in my car. This is a different car, but I was sleeping in my car for 8 months, and then someone reached out.
You sound like you've had a really tough time.
It's been a life, and I have Lyme disease too, so I'm like weak all the time.
Oh my god, you're the perfect comedian. Oh my god, and you've got red hair like me. Oh, look at us.
Yeah.
But coughing?
Oh yeah, I've come to terms with it, and like when I had Lyme disease for 2 years without a diagnosis, I came to terms with my death, where I was like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm clearly getting weaker, so I might be dying. Well, I've lived a really fun life. And ever since that day, I've been like pretty chill about most things. But it's been a journey. You have a dog? What's your dog's name?
We've got Apollo and Khaleesi. So they're two giant German shepherds. They're so beautiful. I mean, it's so boring to hear people talk about their dogs, but I've also got four guinea pigs, which are my animals.
Ooh. Can you do a guinea pig impression?
Wait. Oh, that is very good. So you've had guinea pigs, I can tell.
Yeah, my sisters did.
What were they called? Was one of them called Fudge?
Wow, I don't remember. I think maybe one of them was like, yikes, marshmallow? I don't know. But maybe I'm just thinking that because they're fluffy and so are marshmallows.
They're so perfect guinea pigs. They used to sleep in my bedroom in Brixton, and I had a real issue about... So I'd hear Ian McCulloch try and get on Clara Cupcakes every night, try and have sex with her. And she's so not into it. It's like she's so not into him. And I was thinking that I know they're animals, but consensually, is it right for me as a fellow woman and feminist to stand aside and not intervene? Like, just pull them apart. In and pull them apart? But then, and I wrote this on the guinea pig forum and I got really badly criticized for saying, like, what are you talking about? Like, you can't push feminist agendas onto animals. And obviously mine was slightly tongue-in-cheek. This woman called Ibranka, or I can't remember where she's from, but she was really cross with me. So I, yeah. Anyway, that's just a personal issue I've got with the guinea pig forum. I write for Guinea Pig magazine in the UK. So.
What are they called?
So Ian McCulloch, Clara Cupcakes, Pazuzu, and
Pazuzu.
Yeah, and Badger. Badger was originally called Annie Wilkes, but has been changed to Badger just because it's sort of shouting all four of those names in quick succession is really hard.
So what have you been doing? What have you been like consuming during this time to pass the time? You were talking about The Wire. I still haven't seen it. I know.
I've only just gotten into it now, so no judgment from me. There's a first time for everything. I've been mainly reading. I read all the time.
Yeah.
Read all the time. My family thought Spinal Tap was a real band, so last night I made them watch Spinal Tap. And we're getting through the Christopher Guest films at the moment.
Yes.
For Your Consideration is such a beautiful film.
So good. I need to watch that one again. I've seen Best in Show and I've seen them all, but the ones that I'm most well versed in are Waiting for Guffman.
I've not seen that one.
Oh, whoa. Yes. It's so fun. Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, Mighty Wind. And did you see the new one that they did, Mascots? It was on Netflix.
No.
Yeah. And
I'm just gonna get it. Yep.
There's a couple. No, it's okay. There's a couple character crossovers from Waiting for Guffman. So watch Waiting for Guffman first, and then watch Mascots.
Okay, ooh. I will do that. I wanted to get the name of the cast member who I just think she's so superb, and I don't know enough of her work. Jennifer Coolidge, is that it?
Yes.
She's
so incredible.
She's so damn brilliant. Just such an incredible, awesome. And it's so unfair. Like, I just Google her now, and awards, Teen Choice Award for Film, Choice Sleazebag. It's just not right. I can't believe that.
Choice Sleazebag? What the hell? Yeah, maybe that was for when she was in one of those American Pie movies. Yeah. Probably for that.
She's just very, very funny. She says that line when she says she likes Laotian food. And Rick Gervais says, what food is that? You mean, she's like, Latin food. And he's like, what do you mean by Latin food? She went, Latin, you know, where people speak Latin. Oh, so perfect. Beautiful.
Oh, jeez. Oh, so many good. I mean, Christopher Guest is a genius. Too bad about Fred Willard just now.
I know. That was sort of why I got into it, because I hadn't watched Best in Show until about 5 days ago. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw the news, I thought, no, I need to, you know, pay homage. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's the right, I mean, pay my respects and watch a classic. He's on.
Yeah. There's this.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead. No.
No, you go.
there's this movie from 1991. It's called High Strung. And I gave the year because there's another movie called High Strung that came out in like 2000 something in the teens, but Fred Willard is in it. And I just knew this. I think this was the second time I ever saw Fred Willard, but it was the most that I ever knew him because I watched this movie over and over and over again. And his part is an insurance salesman, and it is so good. But it's all this comedian writer Steve Odekirk, who made like some farm movie, backyard something or other, but also all these movies where it's like Bat Thumb and like Thumbtanic, like Titanic, but it was all just animated on his thumb and he did little faces on it. And Jim Carrey's in it, and Tom Wilson from Back to the Future is in it, and just so many people. But I'm so glad that Fred Willard was in that, and it's just this little known movie. If you can find it, it won't be on DVD, it'll be on YouTube or VHS.
Okay. Well, I can do that.
Yeah. Go ahead. What were you saying earlier?
I can't remember. No, I want to get back to you, babe, and about this house, that situation. So you're going to get a van and you're going to do it up and then you're going to, what, are you going to drive or be on the road? Like, how does it work for comedy and touring in America regarding, did you have acts who were like big in New York or big in Ohio, big in Texas?
Yeah, actually, there's a surprising amount of comics who are known for being from the city that they're from. And so, like, for example, Jeff Tate, he's really big in Cincinnati because that's where he's from. We got a lot of LA comics like Ellen Strickland Williams or Barbara Gray or Dave Ross, Hampton Yunt, and Jonah Ray. You know who Jonah Ray? He was on the new Mystery Science Theater that they put on Netflix. And you're like, sure, I guess that exists.
Smile and nod.
But then it's a different culture kind of everywhere. But the thing that everyone has in common is that we all do stand up. And so you got to just reach out and be like, all right, well, man, maybe I should plan a cross-country COVID tour. Just show up in mask, show up in a mask, have some gloves on. Like, it's okay, you guys, I'm here to perform. And they're like, why are you here? The clubs are closed.
When sorry, I'm just double checking this message from my mum because she's messaging about the baked potatoes. So you're really getting to see the inside of how brilliant my life is. I got to go to, I've not been to America a huge amount of times, well, really very little, except when I was little, because I've got all my Irish Catholic family out in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen them in a long time, but my dad was flying out to California for work about 6 years ago, and because he gets lonely traveling all the time, I was able to fly out with him. So I was like, back, I was in the, yeah, it was really exciting to go there for four days to, where is it? No, the Orange County, that's where we went. But we went to the Orange County because I was very excited because I watched AMC. But I thought, why don't we go to a comedy night? And we sort of chatted to the concierge at the hotel and asked recommendations. And I didn't realize you guys have, I mean, I'm not sure if it's the right way of saying it, but you have sort of like black comedy nights or like a Jewish comedy night, or you have like nights where there's sort of like a theme towards which demographic of the population you're, which I know we do have it in the UK, but it's not quite, it's, I don't know, it just felt so
not as categorized, maybe
not as categorized, yeah, I think that's the word I mean, because me and my dad were queuing and I went, god, this is like, we're the only people who aren't black in this queue, and I was like, cool. Like, this is like, yeah. And also coming from London as well, it was like, oh, this is nice. And but I was sort of thinking, you start to go, because people are looking at us going, why are we in this queue? And then it was just like, it was just how you would imagine American. I didn't realize that we were just in this night in this club and people are just eating chicken and like getting table service, and everyone's got cocktails and they do the food and they come round, and then this, and sorry, this is probably like this teaching your grandmother to suck eggs, but it's so, so different to me in the UK. I was like, why is everyone eating during the act? And then one guy came on stage and was like, hey everybody, give me a cheer if you've got a gun. And people are like, woo, 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 woo. And I was saying, I thought, do they have guns? It was just really funny. It was like, it was a really different experience to like the UK comedy scene where we have, well, I mean, we have political comedy nights in London, like nights which are lefty nights that are deemed right wing or which causes enough confrontation as it is. But it seemed really, it was really funny for me. And then we, as our family, we all went to Washington, D.C. And then we went to another themed comedy night where, again, it was the same situation, but very different in Washington, D.C. So, so much. And by that point, I accepted you eat food during the act. So I just had a, I got so fucking hammered. I got so hammered. That's a really fun thing about to America, when we went off family holiday to Washington, D.C. The nightclubs were great, but your drinks are really not that strong. So like, I finally got to do that thing that I always see in American films, and they just ask for a beer and then they have a chaser, like a shot and a beer. You don't do that in the UK, because if you did, you'd die. But in America, you can seem to just get through like six of them and look like a fucking boss.
There was this one themed comedy night one time, and there's a bunch of them now, but it was Ron Funches, and he had a, it was the Midnight Merriment tour or Midnight Merriment show. But basically, everyone who went in, if you had weed on you, at a certain point during the show, you could start smoking weed. And it was really cool because people were just bringing joints out and just, and then like passing them around. Like there was a bowl of like free joints that was just going around, and it was like, yeah, everyone smoke and then pass it and just if you want to. And I was like, that's really fun. When I was running Duplex Comedy Suplex out of my living room, that was around when I started smoking weed too. And so occasionally I would just be smoking like during the show. And I mean, that wasn't themed, but it was still on theme from the previous theme.
Quit with your comebacks. Jesus, that's the most.
And another thing. No, I've been able to be functional with it, which I think is good because you can get stuff done. You still get a lot of fun ideas, and then also you feel great. Do you ever imbibe with that, or just the drinks?
No, I mean, so when I, in 2018, at the end of 2018, my spine collapsed, my lower spine. I had to have spinal surgery. Yeah, it was it was just the day I was doing the show in Nuffield at the Southampton at the Nuffield Southampton. Oh, bloody hell, I've lost the ability to speak. Anyway, the big theatre there in Southampton, we were doing a big show. We got Arts Council funding, and I was doing a big production of a show we'd written called Medusa, which was basically me as Medusa, a verbatim arts piece where I, as Elfine, say, I went and interviewed Medusa. I'm going to perform to you the verbatim interview. And it's Medusa trying to advertise her new EP because she's releasing a track called Walk Over Me With Your Achilles Heels. Nah, play on words, but it was like a rock concert, like a Courtney Love inspired rock concert. It was really filthy. And basically involved me being entirely naked, covered in like googly eyes and like turning the men to stone, hashtag, yeah, you know what that means. Anyway, but I was in crippling, agonizing back pain the entire time, the week of the show. And I thought it was just because of, you know, endometriosis and whatnot, but I didn't realize actually several of my discs had prolapsed at that point. And I remember at that time I was on CBD oil, CPT oil, or I was just taking whatever I could get my hands on, really, just to get through the show. Because during the show, Dr. Theatre kicks in, and you're like, I'm a fucking boss. I can do this. Of course I can do the splits. I've always been able to do the splits, you know, not realizing that every time I did that, I was potentially severing my spinal cord. Because then the day after the show finished, I woke up and I'd lost complete power of my legs and bladder and bowel control. And then I was in hospital for 3 months. It was fucking mental.
Wow.
But I tell you what, I was on morphine for a very long time in hospital because they had that little button you press and it keeps them getting pumped through. I got into that really stage where I was like, I'm just going to email loads of people that I find inspiring. I made some really funny friendships when I was in hospital.
So was it, was there an accident that maybe caused that beforehand that you just didn't take care of? It was just living.
So it was just doing, so this was 2018. So at the beginning of the year, I took Swan to Australia for the festivals there. Mm-hmm. I was sort of running on the wave of after Edinburgh, and Swan had gone really well. And it's a very physical show, but it involved a lot of ballet and dancing and the splits. And mm-hmm. I did that. And then the show straight after that was called Chiff Chaff, which was a musical about the economy, where I was doing lots of Bob Fosse movements. I was hula hooping for the entire thing. I dress up as a lion, and I give birth to the earth at the end. And I'd done a lot of slapstick training for that. And that was, again, really physical. So I think by that point, I'd lost about 14 pounds from being so busy training and just being very, and I'm 6 foot anyway and quite slender. So I was quite waif-like, doing a huge amount of cardio, putting all this pain on my body and not really realizing. Then I did the show called The Weirdos, Tony, Law and Ice, which is this big show we did at the Alexandra Palace ice rink. And I was dressed as a plane in a morph suit, which is basically you're naked on the ice effectively, and I was doing loads of slapstick falls and like falling around on the ice
on ice skates.
I was really good at ice skating because I was training every day. I took myself to Streatham ice rink, but what I didn't realize, and this was only actually until I hooked up with a doctor one night at a bar and I brought him back, we were kissing and then he went, I'm really sorry but we can't do anymore. And I was like, oh why? And he was like, you've actually broken quite a few of your ribs. Because he was just sitting there and he sort of went to, like, I think, I can't remember how it went. He went to undo my bra strap and
he felt that your ribs were broken.
He turned from like really nice person on a really lovely date into like, I am actually a doctor. Right? This is really big. Have you done anything recently that's injured you? And I had to explain, oh no, I've been training every day as an ice skater. This show where I'm dressed as a plane. And at the same time, I was doing the workshopping and training for Medusa, which involved a lot of striptease and burlesque moves, etc. And so by the time, basically what you can see is impact upon impact upon impact upon lack of rest and then constantly working and not giving yourself a break. And what I started with, what they assumed must have been one prolapse disc at the beginning of the year, must have just developed into something else.
You were beating yourself up about it. Not on purpose.
Yeah, so basically just sort of went too hard, go hard, go home. So either all the rugby team or none of them.
So what was the surgery? Did they put like a rod in there or?
Oh God, I have no idea. I was asleep at the time. But they just sort of cut it at me. I have absolutely no, people ask me, what do they do? And I have no idea. What, it doesn't have any impact on me. It was done. I had no choice in the matter. I couldn't. You don't know what love is until your parents have to constantly wipe your bum and put you on and off the toilet, and your whole family has watched you have an enema. Like, yeah. I know what real intimacy is, and that is having an enema whilst your mum and dad discuss if you're ever going to get married.
And you've healed. How was the healing? Did that? I mean, how long did that take? Because I had a hernia surgery before, and that took...
Poor thing.
That took like two or three months to heal from that.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, and you've had Lyme disease.
And Lyme disease.
Well, they give you a cuddle hug.
across the pond.
When I come to America to gig, I'll come give you a cuddle.
Okay. I accept.
What was I saying? It's, in some respects, still healing now. It's still, so I've got sort of nerve damage. So even though the spine has repaired, my nerves, so I will suddenly sneeze and my legs will just go and I'll collapse in pain.
Oh, wow.
My spinal surgeon, and he was like, yeah, so you are fine. But it seems to be the trauma of what you've gone through has put your, it's like when your brain expects to be injured by something, so you get the same feeling of pain.
Oh,
actually, I don't know what it quite is, but it's like the nerves off. The nerves shoot off too early.
Yeah,
they pre splurge the fear before they need to. But I mean, that will. But now I know that and understand that. Because at the time when I was making Gorgon early in this year, I was really panicked that my back was back to where it was, and then they went, "Oh no, it's like no offense. Like this might sound like we're not being, but it's in your head." And then now I was like, "Oh right, okay, great."
Like it's everything. All on your head.
Like that time yeah, I like to see dead people when I was a teenager. Yeah, great.
Whoa, talk to me about that.
I mean, oh no, it was just a period of, you know, hormones and becoming one with my womb. That's what the teachers and the matrons. I've got to go in a minute because my mum's texting me going, the jacket potatoes are ready.
All right.
I know, it's just terrible.
That's okay.
A woman's got to eat, Doug.
It's true. Do you want to plug yourself for your website or your social media or anything for people to be able to find your stuff?
Or? If anything, I just want us to find you a home.
Put the word out, please.
Where are your family? Where are you based at the moment? Where are you
my
based?
My family are here in this. I'm living in Utah right now, and my family are here. My parents don't want me living there. Well, mostly my mom.
Because of Corona or because of, you know, that one?
Just because of, I don't know. Like, I think a big part of it is the weed use, which is so dumb because it's completely legal in so many places. It's medically legal here, but, and I use it medicinally to make my body feel better from the Lyme disease pain. But, I don't know. I've asked my family if I could stay with them and everyone's been like, no. Sorry. I'm like, shit. I guess I'll just drive around. I mean, I'm going to be a traveling Wilbury, I guess. I don't know.
That's very stressful at this time. Surely also, is there not like a legal thing with your landlord asking you to move out at this point during a pandemic? Because
I think there is something like that in place. But at the same
time, I mean, you probably know.
Yeah, at the same time, I'm like, I'm just done living here.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. Something newer and better for you. And who knows, maybe getting out your van and driving somewhere new would be exciting. But I'm sure someone who can love you.
Well.
And when I say love you, I mean
world.
Like love you with actual like heating and running water.
Yeah. I've had a couple offers of you can use a shower here or you can use a bathroom here, and I'm like, all right.
I mean, there's a show in it for sure.
Oh yeah.
That's so stressful.
The touring comedian, I'll call it. Or the raconteur. I don't know.
Oh, that's quite a nice one.
Yeah. Well, Elf, thank you so much for doing this.
No worries. Thanks for having me. What a funny little interaction in terms of like we'd not met each other before, and then one man on the internet brought us together.
Yeah.
I hope you look after yourself.
Drink lots. Thanks. Of you too.
Yeah.
Drink lots of water. You said.
Yeah. Well, people aren't hydrated enough.
That's true. I know for a fact that I'm a little dehydrated, but I have one of those Brita water bottles that it just purifies it right out of the straw. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, if anyone wants to know more about me, go on my website, theelflines.com, and you'll get videos and clips from my telly, bits and pieces. And if you want, I do one-on-one comedy tutorials and like mentoring on how to make solo shows. That's something that I've got so much experience in.
That's cool.
I love teaching. It makes me happy to be alive.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Pretty much my world at the moment. Well, your skin looks great despite the Lyme disease.
Thank you so much.
Right, I'm gonna go because my mum's like, please, I put it on non-vibrate. She's like, the jacket's waiting.
Okay. Well, enjoy your jacket potatoes.
Yeah.
I said, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Potatoes in America. Have a really lovely day, man.
It's all good. Stay you safe. Too. Thanks.
Lots of love.
Okay. Bye-bye. Same.
Bye.
Bye.